Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, let me just pause this for a minute. So anyway, I started reading that we're going to open up with the Torah portion, but what he put on my heart to be teaching is dealing with the spirit of rejection. I think that is one of the biggest things that attacks the body of Messiah. You know, if you've lived in this earth for any long time, you've had to deal with rejection. Okay? And I think that's the big problem of the Messianic movement is the spirit of rejection. Because Ephraim feels rejected still from Judah. Judah still feels rejected from the world, you know, because of being Jewish. If you're a believer, you suffered rejection. You know, if you became Messianic, you've suffered rejection. Yes. If you've ever been in a divorce or been fired or whatever, you know, rejection can come into your life. But it's like, how do we deal with it? Okay, and this is really a series because as I was looking through this, and I've been studying this for a long time because really my biggest heart is to see people set free and healed. You know, not just physical healing, but emotional healing. There's a lot of people that are really crippled out there, believers, and they don't know how to get free. They think, well, I just have to live with this. You know, and the enemy keeps them under his thumb because they don't realize that, you know what, Yeshua has already set them free. But it's dealing with it, okay? So if you look at, I gave you some examples here. There's a lot of examples. Again, we're going to be going through this. It's going to be a few weeks of going through this. But we're going to be dealing with, like, the roots of rejection. And if you see this, the three big things of rejection is, the two things is fear and pride. I mean, when I was first born again, this is probably what I looked like. I mean, practically everything I'd look on this tree was like I was dealing with. And, it, you know, deliverance is a process, okay? But Yeshua has already paid the price for our deliverance. And the thing is when we walk in the flesh, actually this picture really represents the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? And we don't want to stay, you know, let that have control of our life. We want to, if you will, go back. There's another tree. We are to partake of the tree of life. Okay, and then there's, again, we're going to go into some more detail, but then how do we partake of that tree of life? It's knowing who we are in Messiah, knowing what he has done for us, admitting that we need healing and we need deliverance. I'm still a work in progress. I mean, as I was looking through these notes and everything, I was like, well, boy, I still, you know, Father, I want to be free of this, you know, just like, you know, I want to be free of everything that's going to hinder me, you know, because even, you know, if you teach and everything as well, you deal with rejection. You know, if, you know, every time, you know, you come up and you have to, you know, share something God puts on your heart, there's always a chance people are going to reject you. So it's like we need to know how to deal with that rejection. Okay, and there's nobody who's been more rejected than God himself. Okay, so as we, you know, as we study this again, it was, you know, the life of Joseph, you know, really shows us a picture of how to deal with rejection. So let's go to Genesis chapter 45, beginning with verse 1. Again, this is part of the Torah portion. I'm not reading the whole thing, but this is what stood out to me. It's when Judah, Joseph, confronts his brothers, and he finally reveals himself to them. And if anybody had reason to be bitter, it was Joseph. You know, but if you look at it, if any of us had brothers and sisters that threw us in a pit and sold us as a slave, I think we'd be a little ticked off, you know. Or were falsely accused, you know, and then thrown in prison. But, you know, his attitude through the whole thing is really a picture of Yeshua.
Yes.
Okay? So then let's begin with verse, we're going to begin with verse 44:18, actually the beginning of Vayigash, which is the beginning of the Torah portion, but I'm just going to read it through the end of 45. Then Yehuda came near to him and said, O my Lord, let your servant, I pray, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not your anger burn against your servant. For you are even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Do you have a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him. And you said to your servants, bring him down to me so I can set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face anymore. And it happened when we came up to your servant, my father, and we told him the words of my Lord, and our father said, go again, buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down unless our youngest brother is with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. And your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went away from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I have not seen him since. And if you also take this one from me, and disaster befalls him, you will bring my gray hairs down to the grave in evil. Now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees the lad is not with us that he will die. And your servants will bring the gray hairs of your servant, our father, down to the grave with sorrow. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him to you, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, please let your servant stay instead of the lad as a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how will I go to my father, and the lad is not with me? And I shall see the evil that will come upon my father. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, make every man go out from me. And no man stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were startled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. So now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. The famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you for a heritage in the earth and save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Now we go to verse 14. He says, he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. And as I saw that, I mean, what a picture, somebody who knew how to deal with rejection. I mean, he saw God in the whole thing. He said, you know, what you meant for bad, God put me here for a reason, to save your life. You know, and again, that attitude, again, he could have very easily become a very bitter, angry person. He could have very easily had his brothers killed. He was second in line to Pharaoh. All he had to say was, off with their heads, and they would have been dead like that. You know, but here you see that compassion well up within his spirit and the love for his brothers, even after all they did to him and all he's been through. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew the God he served, and he knew that God had a plan for him in spite of everything that happened to him. Again, that's the attitude we need to have in order to not allow the spirit of rejection to come upon us. It's like, I know what it's like. I've dealt with that my whole life. You know, and I praise God, you know, for where he's brought me. You know, and the deliverance, again, it's a progression, you know, that... But when we learn how to deal with that spirit of rejection, that spirit of rejection will open all kinds of garbage into your life if you don't deal with it. And it'll rob you because you're living in the knowledge of good and evil instead of partaking of the tree of life and walking in the freedom that Messiah has given you. But again, it's a choice. Okay? But as I was reading, God, the one scripture that he's been putting on my heart is Isaiah 61. And again, to bring the conference back into this. The theme, again, we weren't going to do another conference, but God started stirring my heart. And again, this conference is going to be different. It's not just going to be a Hebraic roots conference, okay? It's going to be a conference of healing. Amen. Because the bride needs healing. The bride is bruised and battered and has a spirit of rejection on her that she needs to get set free from. And a lot of times these are things that aren't dealt with. You know, I mean, we know a lot about our Hebrew roots. We know, you know, that we are Ephraim or we are Judah and that God's brought us back to this. But we still have a lot of baggage that we need to get rid of. That's why we're not seeing the unity. Because the spirit of rejection doesn't want unity, okay? And again, we see that all the time. People, you know, people need healing. They need deliverance. And this isn't just for you, but you're going to be able to use this to help somebody else get set free, okay? Because once you see how rejection works, you're going to be able to, number one, get set free yourself. And again, there's a lot we're going to be going through, but it's so important in our lives, okay? Because believe me, if you know God, if God has called you to minister at all, you're going to deal with rejection a lot. And you need to learn how to deal with it because it'll destroy you if you don't. It'll make you, you know, crawl into a corner and not want to get out again. So let's go to Isaiah. Again, the one tree, this tree really is a perfect, it's a picture of the tree of good and evil, okay? Everything that's in here. God doesn't want us to stay in this tree. He doesn't want, we need to kill all these roots, okay? And it's more than just, anybody who's a gardener knows that you have to dig. When you want to get weeds out of your garden, you have to dig deep. And you have to get those roots out. Otherwise, they're going to keep on popping up, okay? And it affects every area of our life. But God wants us to live, again, in the tree of life. We've been grafted into the tree of life. Hallelujah. So let's look at Isaiah. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase it the way God was giving it to me as I was reading this. You're going to see two trees in this scripture as you go to Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 7. And I'm going to point out, you know, I'm going to kind of insert tree of life, tree of good and evil. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news, tree of life, to the afflicted, the tree of good and evil that need deliverance. He has sent me to bind up, again, tree of life, the brokenhearted, those who are suffering, to proclaim liberty. The tree of life is liberty. To captives is the tree of good and evil. Freedom, tree of life, to prisoners, tree of good and evil. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, tree of life, and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort, tree of life, all who mourn, the tree of good and evil. Let's just say rejection, the tree of rejection. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland, tree of life, instead of ashes, rejection. The oil of gladness, tree of life, instead of mourning, rejection. The mantle of praise, the tree of life, instead of a spirit of fainting, rejection. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, tree of life. The planting of the Lord that He may be glorified, tree of life. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. The tree of life rebuilds. It's always rebuilding. They will raise up the former devastations. Again, bring life to that which was destroyed and rejected. They will repair the ruined cities. Bring life, tree of life. The desolations of many generations, rejection. And strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called priests of the Lord. Hallelujah. Tree of life. And you will be spoken of as ministers of our God. Tree of life. And you will eat the wealth of the nations. Tree of life. and their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, rejection, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, rejection, they will shout over joy over your portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land, tree of life. Everlasting joy will be theirs, tree of life. Hallelujah. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery in the burnt offering, and I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. So again, as I was reading that, you can see that, you know, the difference between God wants to bring life to those who have suffered rejection. And rejection can come in all kinds of shapes and forms, and it can hide itself. Okay, we're going to look at, in this one sheet here, not the illustration, but this one teaching. I'm not using PowerPoint. We're just going to look at some different ways that rejection can come into our life and how to get set free from it. Hallelujah. And this is only the beginning. I mean, there's a lot. We're going to be dealing with all these different roots, okay? Because God needs to set us free. So why? So we can go forth and see other people set free in Yeshua's name. There's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of hurting believers out there, you know, that are crippled emotionally and hiding in their houses because of rejection, not being part of fellowship because of rejection. Okay, rejection may be defined as the attitudes and actions of others, real or simply perceived as real. They signal to us that we are not worthy, but worthless. Again, that could begin in childhood, depending on the kind of words that were spoken over you. Words are powerful. You know, we as believers need to watch the words that come out of our mouth, because they can either speak life or death. You know, and again, we don't want to be going over correcting everybody what they're saying, but we need to be aware of what we're saying, okay? We need to be aware of what we say to each other as brothers and sisters in Messiah, you know, or our children. Again, a lot of this stuff I know because I've been through it. Rejection's message is that we are not accepted, that we are not of value, and to be rejected is to be forsaken, to be abandoned, discarded, deserted, or dumped. Rejection causes the hurtful destruction of a relationship. When we feel when we are rejected is nothing less than the impact of emotional violence. Rejection torpedoes our self-confidence, scuttles our joy, and sends our hope to the bottom. It delivers a sense of turmoil, loss, and hopelessness. And you know, there's a saying too that wounded people wound other people. People that are rejected tend to reject others as well. It's like a protective mechanism, okay? Why? Because I've been there, so I know what it's like, okay? Rabbi Scott's been there. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we've all experienced some kind of rejection in our life. Rejection takes aim and does its best to sink your ship. See, the enemy wants you to stay in rejection because he doesn't want to see you go forward in what God's called you to do. Okay? We all experience rejection in our lives. God, however, will never reject us. Hallelujah. He says that we are of immeasurable value to him, and when we are a Messiah, his love and acceptance of us is complete and absolute. You know, even when, you know, sometimes in our ignorance, you know, we're not doing everything fully the way he wants to, in his love and mercy, he gently pushes us in the right direction and deals with us as a loving father. Okay, I didn't grow up with a father. You know, Scott didn't grow up with a father or really a mother. You know, so again, that we know what it's like to be really abandoned in the orphans. I mean, I had a great mom, okay, but still that rejection was there because I felt rejected of my father. Okay, but God will know. In fact, it took me a long time to relate to God as my father because I didn't have a good earthly father. So it took a lot of healing in my life where I could finally cry out, Abba Father, that I could see him as my loving father, because the earthly father is a picture of the heavenly father. That's why it's so important as fathers that we be a godly example of fatherhood. Okay? Deuteronomy 31:8 says, And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Hallelujah. It's important to know, like on that those handouts I gave you here too in the back, it's important to know, again, the tree of life represents the spiritual fruit, who we are in Messiah, being rooted and grounded in Yeshua, his Torah, walking in the kingdom of light. But we need to know who we are in Messiah. When you know who you are in Messiah, that spirit of rejection can't come on you because you know who you are in him. Okay, and that when the enemy is trying to put that spirit on you, you just know he's a liar. But we need to, again, speak forth that word, remind ourselves who we are. Speak it forth, remind the enemy that we know who we are. Hallelujah. Because every day, again, you're going to have the opportunity to deal with rejection. It's what we do with it that's going to make us or break us. Okay? When you experience rejection from one person, we often become anxious about other people will judge us in the future. This results in two things. Number one, the fear of exposure, and number two, the fear of disgrace. None of us wants our shortcomings uncovered. We instinctively try to protect ourselves from this possibility at all costs. People who have been rejected are potential victims of three spirits that feed off these fears of being exposed and disgraced. They are number one, and again, I see this happen all the time. I've been through it, and I see it happen with believers. The spirit of isolation. The first thing the enemy wants to do is isolate you from other believers.
That's right.
Okay? He'll start lying to you and saying, well, they don't like me.
Right.
You know, even if you look at them the wrong way, they'll be like, right. You know, well, you know, they'll get, well, I can see a spirit of rejection. The enemy, what he always wants to do is isolate you. Okay? And being, again, and I say this time and time again, and there, people have a false sense of community a lot of times when they replace physical community with community on the internet. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just another form of isolation. Okay, yes, there's good things you can see on the internet, you know, there's good things you can learn, but it's not the same as community. And people will isolate themselves and use it as an excuse. Well, I can just go have Shabbat
right.
Over the internet. You're isolated. You're still isolated. You don't have brothers and sisters. You know, the word says in James 5, says, let the elders of the church, says we're to confess our faults to one another, says we are to lay hands on one another. How can somebody lay hands on you through a computer?
Yeah.
You know, if you can, because you can't, okay? Again, it's the way the enemy always wants to isolate you and get you by yourself. The principle of divide and conquer works very well in the arena of human emotions. Rejection isolates us. People isolated in their fears and denied interaction with others by rejection become targets. Easy prey for the trap set by their own emotions. Again, they avoid community, they avoid relationships because they have fear of being rejected. Okay? That's why we have to be very sensitive with new people when they come in. We have to be, you know, because sometimes if a person has a real strong spirit of rejection, like I said, you just look at them the wrong way,
right.
And they're offended and out the door. Okay? People need the opportunity to be healed, okay, and to be ministered to, and to allow the Ruach HaKodesh to bring them to the end. That takes maturity in you and sensitivity to the Ruach HaKodesh to reveal those things to you. The spirit of loneliness. Loneliness is a feeling that comes after we have been isolated. It is debilitating and a constant hurt. It is a condition in which there is no support system available. We have to go it alone. Again, there's a lot of believers out there that are lonely, that are isolated, that feel that they have no place to go. Again, it's the lie of the enemy. Okay? But again, that's how, again, he gets that, you know, spirit of loneliness. The spirit of self-destruction. Self-destruction easily falls on someone who has no support system. Again, part of community is being part of a support system, a part of praying for one another. You know, being able to share, you know, hey, I'm going through a tough time, you know, without fear of being rejected. And the Bible says we're to confess our faults with one another. you know, so we can get healed and delivered. But you know what? Most believers are afraid to do that. Why? Fear of rejection. Fear that, you know, that they're not going to be accepted. You know, hey, we all need deliverance. We all need a deliverance. We all have issues in our life. If I can't go to my brothers and sisters in Messiah, who can I go to? Some psychologist? You know, it's like last resort, you know. We should be able to come to one another with our fears and what we're going through. Again, we are very open and honest. We are who we are. And I'll tell you, you know, I've been through all this stuff. And I still have things that God's, you know, freeing me up from. Because as I'm studying this and I'm looking at some of these roots, I'm like, oh, you know, Rock HaKodesh, you've got some more roots that got to get killed here, you know. Hallelujah. So what are some of the remedies for isolation and loneliness, which ends in destruction? Again, why do a lot of people commit suicide? Because they feel rejected, they feel lonely, they feel like there's nobody who cares, and that's the only way out. Again, we have to fight that spirit of rejection. We need one another. The word says we're accepted in Messiah. You know, if he accepted us, who are we to reject one another and not understand one another? Again, we're all, on a journey. You know, some of us are, you know, farther along the way. Others are just entering in. Okay, we need to be patient and kind with one another. And from what I've seen, again, it goes on, and, you know, believers everywhere, whether they're Messianic or Christian or whatever, there's a lot of lonely, hurting people out there. There's a lot of people that have a smile on their face, but, you know, they're hurting inside. They're on the verge of suicide, a lot of them. They're on the verge of giving up their faith in Messiah because the enemy has convinced them that there is no hope, and he's a liar.
Right.
Hallelujah. I remember when I was first, a new believer, let me tell you, I was like, so messed up. It's like, you know, I came out of the world. I mean, emotionally, I mean, I had a lot of bondage and a lot of baggage. And even though I went to a spirit-filled church, they didn't recognize what I was going through. You know, I was to a point where I was convinced that God didn't love me. But I'd be sitting in a service, and everybody go, oh, isn't an anointing great? And I'm just sitting there feeling like the enemy's just hitting me on the head. And I couldn't. I go, I don't feel any anointing. I must not be saved. You know, I don't, you know, I just felt like something's wrong with me. Well, I cried out because I was really on the verge of, I really felt hopeless. Because I knew I cried out to God and he changed my life. But emotionally, I needed a lot of healing. I had a lot of baggage. I had a lot of healing that needed to be done. And unfortunately, a lot of believers don't know how to minister to people like that. But Rock HaKodesh does. Hallelujah. So I was laying in bed, and I mean, the enemy had me convinced that God didn't love me. He says, you've done too much. What makes you think that God's going to love you? What makes you think you're saved? You know, because I was battling all these thoughts in my brain, and I was just crying out to God. I says, you know, Jesus, that's why I called him Jesus, because that's what I knew, and he heard me. I says, if you don't love me, I don't want to live. That's how strong that spirit of rejection can command you. The scripture he gave me is Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah, let's go there. It's like one, it's, I guess you call it my life scripture because it's a scripture that really delivered me from that lie of past Satan. And I had a dream that night too, and I don't have, you know, many dreams or visions. I've had a few in my life, but this was so clear. I was sitting in a church, and I was just sitting there, and I just, you know, the darkness, like it says, I felt totally hopeless, helpless. And all of a sudden, I see this light coming towards me. And the closer it got, the more my heart started beating faster and faster and faster. And I just saw Yeshua just for a second. He didn't speak any words. All he said to my heart was, Deborah, I love you. And that was it. Then he gave me Romans chapter 8. That was a mercy visit because he knew that, you know, that I was on, he had a plan for me and that he, you know, wanted me to know that the enemy can't lie to me. 8:26. Let's see, let's go down. Actually, it was, okay, beginning with verse 8:33. And who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Yeshua, the Messiah? It is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Master. That just set me free. Because I realized, you know, for the first time that with all the stuff I was going through, he wasn't going to let go of me. He wasn't going to give up on me. And again, it was a process of healing, because my heart, I was sold out from him from day one. I've been serving him. You know, I gave my heart to him when I was a child, but I had no spiritual support. Gave my life back to him in my early 20s. Okay, I've been serving him for over 36 years, haven't looked back since I called out on him. I have no desire to look back. But I know I can have compassion for people in the world, because you know what? They're sinning because they're lost. You know, why, as believers, I think sometimes we forget where we came from and what God did for us. That what they need is Yeshua, and they'll stop sinning. You know, they're living according to their nature, the sinful nature. And when we call upon him with all our excess baggage and all, he is there to deliver us and set us free. But I dealt with, again, that spirit of rejection, and that spirit of rejection manifests in many ways, but the biggest two branches are fear and pride. Okay, and we're going to look at all the roots that come from fear and pride. Okay, pride keeps you from getting healed and delivered, because you're like, well, I don't want to go to prayer because I don't want people to know that I need to get delivered. You know, I do that for a long time. I don't know what people need to know that I need to get delivered. They think I'm spiritual. You know, again, pride keeping me from getting what I need. Fear of what people will think. Again, there's a lot of believers that never fully walk in what God's called them to do. Why? Because of fear of man. And so one thing God told me a long time ago when you first called me, you are not to fear their faces. And believe me, it can be fearful sometimes when you're looking at their faces. Yeah. But you know what? It's his word that has power, but we still have to go forth. We need to embrace the opportunity to value and be with others, even if you don't feel like it. Okay, I tell the times, I mean, you got to push and shove yourself sometimes to come to Shabbat service. You know, I know, you know, you think, you know, sometimes that my flesh feels like, oh, I really don't feel like that. You know, no, it's like I've got a job to do. There's people that need to be ministered to. God has something to say, not just to you, but whoever's going to be listening to these recordings and these teachings, okay? This to you, you know, is what I teach, what we teach you. You should be able to go take and get people in your sphere of influence set free. You know what? Because everybody's not going to come through these doors. But there's a lot of people that come across your path that need to be set free, that need to be delivered, that need to know that God loves them and that they're not alone and they don't have to live with their rejection. Stop judging people by how you think they might judge you. Doesn't that always happen? We always do that. You know, we always think that they're going to reject, you know, we think that people think about us the way we think about us. Confront these spirits in Yeshua's name. Take authority and command them to go. You know, in the name of Yeshua, you're saying, you are not going to hold me back. I'm not going to listen to your lies. I'm going forward. I know who I am in Messiah. I know I need deliverance, and I'm going to receive that deliverance. I know I've got issues in my life, but you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I'm going to receive that deliverance, and I'm going to go forward and be all that he has called me to be.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God has given us truth, his word. You know, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free in more areas than one. We need to get rid of our negative feelings. Negative feelings are not your friend. The enemy has a playground with negative feelings. You know, he'll tell you that, you know, at work, nobody likes you.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about behind your back.
Yep.
You know, they're just pretending to like you. Or, you know, even Shabbat, they don't really like me. They don't love me. That place, they don't love people. They didn't say hi to me today. They don't love me.
Right.
Again, that negative, You know, his MO hasn't changed. It's, you know, it's the same, you know. We need to refuse to judge people by what your emotions tell you. Let God judge them. Simply forgive them. You know, that's something we all need to learn. It's so easy to judge somebody else. It's so easy, again, as we're going through this and letting the Ruach HaKodesh reveal things in our life, the biggest temptation is to think, yep, that's my husband. Yep, that's my brother. You know, he needs to be like, I see him on this tree. There's his name right there. You know? We need to look to ourselves. If we all look to ourselves and let God take care of our brother and sister, wouldn't we all be much better instead of, you know, trying to pull out the roots of, you know, the other tree? We need to, you know, start looking. Again, it's, you know, it's easy to do. Think, oh, yeah, I recognize that. I need to give them this book. They need to get separate. God wants to work with us first, okay? Hate the spirits who hate you and give them no ground. We're not to give any place to HaSatan. And again, he starts by whispering words into your mind, lying to you, telling you that you can't do this, that you're no good, and you're stupid, and you know, what kind of education? You don't have an education. You're not as smart. Look at, you're gonna be a teacher, and that person has a PhD. Who are you? You barely got out of high school.
Right.
You know, that's me. That's what I have to deal with all the time. But you know what? God's the one. If you look at the people in the Word of God, you know, it's, you know, it says
what
that.
School did you go to?
Right. I mean, God used everyday people. People with hearts to serve him, and he'll give you the intelligence and the wisdom you need to do what he's called you
Hallelujah.
To do.
Amen.
And then he'll get the glory for it.
That's right.
Not some piece
right.
of paper on the wall.
Right. Right.
You know, that he's the one who gives you the wisdom. Rejection, when allowed to influence us for long periods of time, leads us to the opinion that escape is hopeless. We find ourselves denying our present opportunities. We find that our future expectations are diminished or destroyed. We find ourselves prisoners to negative emotions. We find that rejection steals our appreciation for the good things that God has already given us. Our will to change is destroyed. Hallelujah. But we don't have to live with that. You know, we don't have to accept that. You know, a lot of times we'll turn down a job because we think, well, no, you know, we won't go for job interviews because we don't want to be rejected.
Right.
You know, because we have such a low opinion of ourselves. You know, again, it keeps you a prisoner. It keeps you a prisoner from being and doing everything that God has called you to do. Companions of rejection. Again, this is just kind of like a preview. We're going to really go in deep and stuff. And as I was looking, like I said, it's like, and I can, you know, I can mark off, man, you know, all the things he delivered me from, but I still see some areas that I need to deal with.
Amen.
Okay? When I was in Bible college, one of the classes I took was Christian counseling, because I thought I wanted to be a counselor in a prison ministry. After 4 years of prison ministry, I said, no, I'm a counselor in a prison ministry. But they gave us a test, okay? And I came out as a perfectionist, perfectionist, perfectionist. And my teacher just looked at me and I thought, what's wrong with that? You know? Until I realized that being a perfectionist is not a good thing. You know, again, but God has been delivering me from those things. Hallelujah. But you know what? You get delivered when you admit you need to be delivered. Okay? Anxiety. Anxiety is a lack of peace, which comes from a lack of trust in God. It is a weight that grows heavy. How many of you have ever had an anxiety attack? Okay, triggered by fear, triggered of the unknown, of things that aren't even going to happen. Okay, why? Because we're not trusting God. Okay, that could come too. It's like when we're, you know, whenever, again, if you're teaching or sharing with somebody, I mean, the enemy will keep on, you know, attacking you. Well, you know, people don't like what you said. You know, it's like, what are we trusting, our personality? Or are we trusting the power of the Ruach HaKodesh and his word? It's his word and his spirit that sets people free, not your personality. Not how well you speak. You know, not how polished you know. I flub words all the time. You know, it's like I think, God, how could you use me? You know? But again, my trust isn't in how good I can do things. It's in the word of God and his spirit, because that's what's going to set people free. And I put all my trust in that. Philippians 4:6-8. says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace or shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Yeshua HaMashiach. We need to guard our heart and our minds through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Again, we need to focus on whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. Again, another here, shame, loss of faith. Shame is a condition in which we feel dirty and polluted. Has anybody ever been ridiculed or embarrassed in front of people? I have. I mean, and you just feel, you know, that's Lashon Hara. That according to, that Lashon Hara is more than what you speak out of your mouth. You are not to purposely embarrass or cause a person humiliation. Especially, you know, and not like ask them a question that you know they can't answer. You know? And again, that'll cause people, that'll cause a spirit of shame and anxiety and rejection to come on a person. Okay? Shame may infect us because of what someone did to us, what we did to someone, or perhaps what we failed to do. When we feel shame, we withdraw to protect ourselves, and we contribute to our own rejection. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Okay. And I knew, again, I was like that. I had a protective shield on my heart, and, you know, nobody was going to get to really know me. This is as a believer. I says, well, you know, I'll let you get to know me so much, but I had to protect myself because I wasn't going to let you reject me, But finally, I had to let go of that. So, you know, God, I trust you. And it's like, I'm not going to allow, that spirit of rejection to come on me. I know who I am in you. And when you do that, you can go forward. Again, that's, our hearts. And when we do that, God can't deal with our hearts either. Because a lot of times, we close our hearts off to God. Okay? And he wants to heal us. And again, the enemy too. You know, when you are born again, it doesn't matter what you did in your past. It is under the blood and it was washed clean. But what does the enemy try to do? Yeah. Keeps on reminding you all the things that you did wrong, all the shameful things. Okay? Because, again, your mind's like a computer. We need to ask God to, give us a new hard drive. Clean out all that garbage from our brain. Okay? But the enemy is the accuser of the brother. He will always accuse you. He will never build you up and pat you on the back. Okay, Romans 10:11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. God has your back. He will watch your back. Psalm 22:5. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Hallelujah. Psalm 25:20. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Again, we need to know who we are in Messiah and put our trust in him and all that he's done for us. Another area is the area of guilt. Psalm 103:8-12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Even before we were saved, he showed his mercy towards us. How many times could we have been died and been lost? But his mercy was there. Why? Because somebody was probably praying for us. We may not know who they were until we get through the word. Somebody had to be praying. We can ask God for forgiveness at any time. Many who feel rejected and guilty refuse the remedy. Out of guilt, they reject the one who will not reject them. Again, we have to receive that deliverance. We need to receive that healing from rejection. Depression. Depression is the weakening or dulling of our spirits. Again, a spirit of depression will try to, again, isolate you. Mm-hmm. Isolate you from other believers. Isolate you from the anointing. Isolate you from your deliverance. I mean, again, I see it all the time, with believers. Depression, again, Living with rejection can easily sap the energy from us. It can weaken us so much that we are no longer able to even make small decisions. It works to drain our strength. It steals our vitality and anesthetizes our emotions. It drugs us into a foggy, inactive, unfocused existence. If left to work its evil, depression can bring about emotional and volitional paralysis. And again, it could even, a lot of people, has led them to suicide. Romans 12, 1-2, I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What transforms your mind? The Word. That's the only thing. The tree of life. Says His Word is a tree of life. His Word is what will transform you. Again, a lot of people, this is their last resource. This should be the first place we go, is to the Word of God. The Psalms are full of, you know, of exhortation to, you know, David, you know, if anybody, he had to fight depression and rejection all the time. But he would start praying. Some of those beautiful psalms came out of that, realizing that, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, realizing that if God be for me, who can be against me? That he knew that God was on his side. We need to encourage ourselves in the Word and let that Word transform us, let that Word deliver us and get set free again from that spirit of rejection. And number one is busyness. We cannot face the hurt, so we distract ourselves with all kinds of activities all the time. Been there, done that. It's like being stuck in a revolving door, you know, like a little hamster on the wheel, you know, where he just keeps on going around and around and never gets any place. We cannot face the important issues of life. So instead of facing it, we just keep ourselves busy so we don't have to deal with it. Okay? Like mice on a treadmill, we get addicted to going in circles and never getting anywhere. We go full speed until one day we just give out. The biblical remedy for busyness is to be still. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am Yahweh. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He also wants to be exalted in our life. Luke 10:38-42, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Yeshua's feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Master, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Yeshua answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Yeshua saw past her busyness and realized, she, you know, Martha, you need to get set free and delivered. You need to sit at my feet. You need to hear what I have to say. But she was, you know, again, we keep busy, busy, busy to avoid. Okay? A lot of times people will get busy doing something. Okay, you may have a function. You know, and they'll be in the kitchen hiding out so they don't need to deal with anybody. Again, I deal with it all. I still fight that spirit of rejection all the time. You know, but I don't let it cripple me or keep me from doing what God's called me to do. Reluctance to give ourselves to new relationships. Nobody likes to repeat unpleasant experiences. Figures, you know, well, Father, it's easy to have no friends and to deal with being rejected. I'm tired of being rejected. So we don't want to take that chance. Again, I believe that's why a lot of believers aren't a part of the community, because they're hurt. They're afraid to trust people. Okay? But the only way they're going to get set free is to get past that spirit of rejection and trust God that He's going to bring the right people in their life. We may decide that our rejection experiences are the norm and should be expected. In truth, these experiences do not decide the success of our future relationships. It is the conclusions we make about those experiences that really decide for us. The judgments we form about our experiences today will rule our decision-making process tomorrow. We tend to withdraw and shy away from new relationships for fear we may get hurt again by rejection. We clam up. We stand aside. We reject others just as we have been rejected. The basis for these behaviors in our cynical view of previous experiences. Cynicism about relationship is a huge handicap. It will stop us from every divine appointment Yahweh makes for us. The biblical remedy for cynical reluctance to enter into a new relationship is simply trust Yahweh and desire to let our light shine for Yeshua. Hallelujah. So what are Ephesians 1:3-6? Blessed be the God and Father of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Messiah. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Yeshua HaMashiach to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will and the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved, so we need to accept one another. What are the gates of this pity party that has its roots in rejection? Where does it enter? Well, your emotions, your thoughts, memories, and fears. Okay? How do we take action? We reject that rejection and we stand on the Word of God. We remind ourselves, we say, again, that's why I gave you this sheet, what the Word of God says about us, how God sees us. Again, as I was reading this, and that's why even the conference is going to be, you know, different. And I was sharing with the speakers, letting people know, like, well, this isn't going to be the run-of-the-mill Hebrew Roots conference. This is going to be a conference of ministry. Okay, this is going to be a conference of people. We're going to have workshops going on where people can. We're going to have mix of services. Priscilla and John are doing it, dealing with wounded hearts. You know, and Paul Neeson will do it on health and nutrition. Rabbi Mordecai, or Bishop Dominique, I'm just going to let her loose on Saturday night because I know she hears from the Spirit of God. You know, but all the teachers are going to, it's going to be dealing with the bride of Messiah, but it's going to be dealing about preparing the bride and healing the bride, because right now the bride is black and blue and rejected, okay? And she needs to know, the body of Messiah needs to know who they are. That's why we have a problem getting along with each other. You know, and we hide it, we hide that hurt by having, you know, butting heads with each other and trying to have one-upmanship on who knows what, instead of dealing with the real issue, because we brought a lot of baggage along with us, and we need to know it, we need to get rid of that baggage and let Messiah heal it, and work together as the body of Messiah to do what he has called us to do. Now, if you look at, again, these handouts, you'll see one, again, different roots of rejection. Number one could be caused by society, you know, and we're going to deal with these different areas. I mean, you can even start as a child. You know, I remember kids can be mean to one another. You know, I remember in grade school, you know, they used to make fun of me. You know, they used to call, because my last name was Cole. So, you know, they call me Blast Furnace Cole. You know, the boys thought, ha, 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 that's funny. But you know what? It hurt me. It made me feel rejected. Or maybe, you know, you weren't smart enough, or you weren't skinny enough, or you weren't the right size, or whatever. You know, that spirit of, you know, society and culture and peers can, you know, you can open you into a spirit of rejection. We're going to begin to be dealing with these things and get free from them, because a lot of them go back to our childhood. And we've never truly, you know, a lot of times, given them over to God. And again, this just isn't for you. This is forever is listening to these CDs as well, because I know there's a lot of hurting people out there. Again, another root, one of the other roots of rejection is family. Again, abuse, abandonment, you know, pregnancy problems, generational curses. In the first place, the first area we need when it, you know, counsel somebody is to deal with generational curses first. Once we deal with the generational curses, then we could start working on healing the wounded heart and the emotions. Okay, but it's a process. It's not a quick fix. You know, it's a, you know, we're still, again, the person I was 35 years ago, I'm not today, but I'm still a work in progress. Amen. Hallelujah. And everything that I've been through, I can turn around and help somebody else.
Right.
You know, because I can say, you know what, I've been there. I know what you're going through. There's no experience, even, you know, Joseph, again, back to Joseph. He saw how all of this negativity was working out for his good so God can deliver and bless his people. It was all about preserving Israel and preserving that covenant. And he saw that. He saw the big picture. But what the enemy wants us to do, he doesn't want us to see the big picture. He just wants us to focus on the rejection. Okay? Well, he's been found out. Hallelujah. And again, so we need to deal with situations in our families, you know, like abusive, you know, not just physical abuse, but verbal abuse. You know, words, I think words are worse than physical. I think being abused verbally is worse than even than being abused physically. Okay? Because those words, you can just replay over and over and over again. God wants us to partake of the tree of life. The tree of life. Let's go to Galatians 5. He wants us to start killing the roots because Yeshua delivered us from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He paid the price for everything that is represented on this tree of good and evil. He paid for us. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Beginning with verse 16. I'm reading from this, the One New Man translation. But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, so you would not in any way fulfill any desire of the flesh. Key number one, walk in the Spirit. Listen to what the Ruach HaKodesh says to you. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word. You can't separate the Spirit from the Word. For flesh turns against the Spirit. The enemy will always say what's contrary to the Word of God. And the Spirit against the flesh. The Spirit will never agree with the lies of the enemy. You need to learn to listen to what your spirit man is saying. For they are opposed to one another, so that you would not do the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, or the Ruach, you are not under the law of the flesh. Hallelujah. And the works of the flesh are apparent, which are immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, right there with immorality and impurity, just as bad in God's eyes. Outbreaks of selfishness, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and like things. I tell you beforehand, just as I told you before, that the ones who are doing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're partaking of the wrong tree. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit, what tree does the fruit of the Spirit grow from? The tree of life. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is nothing in Torah against such as these. But those who belong to Messiah did crucify its flesh with its passions and desires. So what? You got to crucify that flesh. You have to put it to death and not allow it to have rule over your life. Because until we get our renewed body, we're going to have to deal with the flesh. Oh, yeah. If we live by the Spirit, then we walk directing our lives by the Spirit. That's what we need to do. Every single day when we wake up in the morning, we have to make that decision. I'm going to walk by your Spirit today. Hallelujah. We should not become boastful, neither provoking one another, nor envying one another. Let's go, brothers. If then a man would be overtaken with any sin, you, the spiritual one, are to restore such a one is in the spirit of gentleness. Okay, God, our job is to restore people back to relationship with God. Okay? In what? A spirit of gentleness. Looking out for yourself, lest you also be tempted. Has anybody noticed? I don't know about you. See, I mean, when you judge somebody, that you end up facing that same temptation, it comes back on you. Bear the burdens of one another, and in this way you fulfill the Torah of the Messiah. How do we bear the burdens? By praying and interceding for one another. And each one must continually prove his conduct, then he will have a reason for boasting only to himself, but not to another. For each will bear his own burden, and the one who is being taught the word must continually share all good things with the one instructing. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever the man would sow, this also will he reap. Because the one who sows into his own flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows into the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we need to continually be sowing into the Spirit. How do we sow into the Spirit? Praise, worship, studying the Word. Okay? If you're not doing that, you're going to be sowing in the flesh. So then as we have time, we should do good with all people, and especially with the households of the faithful. Hallelujah. Again, we're going to start digging in things. Why? Because God has a job for us to do. And we cannot afford to allow a spirit of rejection, a spirit of pity, a spirit of I can't to control our life, a spirit of unforgiveness. Again, I don't know. A lot of times you think you forgive somebody. It's good. It's easy to forgive somebody if you're never going to see them again.
Right.
But when they walk into the room, check what you're feeling. Right. You'll know right away if you've really forgiven that person. What is your attitude towards them? You know? So again, God wants to, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We need to reject that spirit of rejection. And again, we're going to be dealing with the fruits and the roots of it. Okay, so we can get set free, so we can go forward again and set other people free. Do what God's called us to do. When people walk through this door, be able to minister to them, be able to see right away, listen to the Spirit, to pray for them, and help them to get over. Believe me, I know a lot of times people leave here, even though they'll come in the door. Well, God told me to come here, and next week they're gone because they haven't given God a chance to get set free and delivered. Okay, there's more. Again, we are supposed to be reproducing the works of Yeshua. And what did Yeshua do? Didn't he go around setting people free, healing them, bringing them back, restoring them back into relationship with God, going to those that society rejected? Why? So he can just hang out with them? No, so he can bring restoration towards them. That's what we're all called to do, restore. Okay. And again, when we see people in sin, has our hearts become hardened and self-righteous? Instead of breaking and crying and saying, God, those people are going to hell, but you can set them free. Where is our heart? Again, I have to look at my own heart. When we get so, happy with what God's done for us, and it's like, okay, bless us more and no more, I'm doing good, and forget there's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of people that need to, and yes, some will reject you. Mm-hmm. You know what? Hey, they rejected Yeshua too. But there's a lot that are just waiting for somebody to say, hey, God loves you. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live in self-destruction. You don't have to live a life of homosexuality. You don't have to live a life of sin. You don't have to live a life of drugs and alcoholism. Okay? You can be set free. But what do? We just, we just judge them. And what are they doing? They're doing what sinners do. They sin. They need to get set free. They need to somebody tell them. I praise God for the people that had boldness to approach me on the street and tell me that God loved me. And believe me, I rejected them, and I wasn't very friendly to them. In fact, I would, run the other way, and I thought, what am I, a target? Everywhere I go, there's somebody. But you know what? Every word was hitting my heart. Do you think they knew? They probably felt totally rejected, because of what I was saying. But all their words were hitting my heart until finally I cried out to God. And I meant business with him. So don't be moved by it, because the word, number one, is powerful. You give them the word, and the word's going to hit its target every time. Just give them what the word says. And they may not react that moment, but somewhere down the street, somebody's going to water that seed, and somebody's going to bring them to full, a full relationship with Yeshua. And we're getting in the times where more and more, we know things are going to get tougher. But you know what? If God before us, who can be against us? It's like, we just need to keep going about our business and doing and being faithful and not allow the enemy to keep us a prisoner and isolated. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Abino Makano, our Father, our King, Father, I thank you that Yeshua paid the price, Father, for all the rejection and the hurt and the bitterness in our life, that he gave us beauty for ashes. I just want to read that again, Father. I thank you for Isaiah 61, Father. Hallelujah. I thank you that your word is true, Father. I thank you for that great exchange, Father, that you took all my ugliness, Father, and you gave me something beautiful back in return. I thank you, Yahweh, that your spirit is upon us because you anointed us to bring good news to the afflicted. Father, help us never to forget that that's our call, is to bring good news to the afflicted. You have sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. Thank you, Father, that you bound up our broken hearts, Father. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Thank you, Father, that we proclaim liberty to those who are in spiritual captivity, Father. And freedom to prisoners, Father. We proclaim freedom to those that are in spiritual prisons, Father. We thank you, Father, that you freed us from our spiritual prisons, Father. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. We know that there is a day of vengeance coming, but Father, the vengeance is in your hands, Father. Father, thank you that you have called us to comfort all who mourn. Thank you that you comfort us, Father, when we were mourning. That you grant those in mourning Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes. Thank you, Father, for that garland you gave us instead of ashes, Father. Thank you for that oil of gladness instead of mourning. Thank you for that mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting and giving up. Thank you, Father, that you now call us oaks of righteousness, that you planted us, Father, that you may be glorified. Thank you, Father, that you called us to rebuild the ancient ruins, and that we will rise up the former devastations, and that we will be repairers of the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. I'm just going to read it in Hebrew. Ruach Adonai Elohim Olei Ayom Meshach Adonai Oti Laverser Anavim Shlachani Lachavosh Lenishveri Lev Lekro Lishvoyim Deror Vela Sorim Pechach Koach Lechrushanat Radzon La Adonai Vyom Naham Li Eloheinu Lenehem Ko Avalim La Som La Vele Zion Latet Lechem Pir Nahet Afer Shemen Sason Tachat Ivel Meit Tehila Tachat Ruach Kiha Vikora Lechem Ile Ha Zedek Mata Adonai Lechit Peyer. Ovanu Horvot Olam Shomot Rishonim Yikol Yikomimu Vichitsho Ari Chorev Shemiot Dior Vador Viam Dozarim Virau Zonhem Uv Ne Nahar I Kerichem Vichor Mehem Vi atem kohane Adonai, tikaru mishartei